Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Parents Tool Talk Radio with your host, Jody Johnston Powell, licensed social worker, certified family life educator, second generation parent educator, and author of the award-winning book, The Parents Tool Shop, the universal blueprint for building a healthy family. For over 25 years, Jody has been training parents and family service professionals nationwide and serving as a parenting expert to the media worldwide. Now, through the Parents Tool Talk radio show and teleseminar series, Jody shares her practical advice and introduces you to other experts who can give you proven effective advice on the issues that matter most to parents. So get ready to be informed, entertained, and enlightened as we join Jody now.
Hello, and welcome to Parents Tool Talk Radio. I am so glad you've joined us today. I'm Jody Johnston Powell, author of The Parents Tool Shop, and your host. Our topic today is parenting brain styles. And just about everyone has one particular style of thinking that we tend to use, and that thinking style can influence our parenting style as well. So today we're going to be talking to Susie Weller, an expert on parenting brain styles, and she's going to tell us what happens in relationships and families when not everyone has the same style and how we can use this knowledge of our differences to improve our relationships and our families. Before I introduce Susie, I did want to remind all foster parents to check in at the beginning and the end of the show if you want to qualify for continuing education credits. Just call in or use the chat room. For detailed instructions, just go to www.parentstooltalk.com/links. That's parentstooltalk.com/links. And if when you're on that page, click the link that says CEUs for foster parents and just follow the instructions. Next, let me tell everyone who's listening live that we are taking questions today after our first break and through the rest of the show. If you'd like to call in with a question, here's the number to call, 347-205-9654. That's 347-205-9654. And when you connect, if you'll press the 1 key on your phone pad to raise your hand, that lets us know that you have a question and that you're not just listening through the phone. You can also send us your questions via the online chat room by typing in your question there. Just go to parentstooltalk.com and click on the play/chat button just underneath today's show title and description, and that'll give you access to the chat room. And last but not least, everyone who calls in with a question or sends us a question by chat is eligible to receive a free thank you gift. So stay tuned, and we'll be telling you more about that gift at the 20-minute past the hour break. Now, without any further ado, let me introduce my special guest expert for today's show. Susie Weller is an internationally known speaker with over 30 years' experience in providing educational services. She has a master's degree and certification in 7 specialized training programs. Susie coaches people on how to foster satisfying relationships at home and at work. She's a certified thinking styles consultant through Herman International in North Carolina that's been studying and applying brain research for over 30 years for individuals, couples, and organizations. She's also the director of Tools for Transformation, which coaches individuals and groups large and small for success. She's also an adjunct faculty for the Community Colleges of Spokane, Washington. Susie is also the author of Why Don't You Understand? Improve Family Communications with the 4 Thinking Styles, which balances leading-edge brain research with practical applications for families and businesses. I met Susie about 5 years ago when we both participated in a training program together and have really benefited from what she knows and has shared with me about brain styles in my personal life, to improve my professional performance, and also, of course, in my work with parents. So, Susie, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks, Jody. It's a pleasure to join you.
Well, good. Well, Susie, let's start off by helping people understand what thinking styles are and how that relates to parenting brain styles.
Sure. So just like we have a preferred hand to write with, we also have a preferred thinking style. So some people are going to be more left-brained, and they're going to make logical styles with their head, and other people are going to be more right-brained, and they're going to make more relational decisions with their heart or their gut instinct. So people who are listening, if you're able to, I'm going to encourage you to write, make like a big plus sign on your paper because that's going to create the four quadrants for the four different thinking styles. So there's four of them, and on their left side, if you would look at the logical in the top left corner, and on the bottom left would be the practical. So those are the two left brain thinking styles. And then on the right-hand side, in the top right, would be the creative, and the bottom right would be the relational. So together, we really want to be a whole-brained approach to parenting that uses all four thinking styles whenever we need them most.
Okay, good. Share with us, Susie, how is it that we end up, how do we develop these parenting styles?
Well, we develop our parenting really from our preferences, and just like there are inborn temperaments, just how our brain is wired from the very beginning, more than one child, you know that even with the same circumstances, same genetics, same partner, that kids right from the start are different, sometimes even right from the womb. And I think that's true with parenting styles and thinking styles as well. It's just like temperament, these are our inborn natural preferences about how we take in information, how we make decisions, and what comes easily to us, and also sometimes what is more challenging because it's not our natural dominance.
Yet now, do these thinking styles tend to stay the same throughout our lives?
I do think that we have a preferred way, just like I really am right-handed. However, if I broke my right hand and I needed to do something with my left, I could certainly get better at it. And it would become easier over time with practice, but it would never have the same ease or flow as doing something in my preferred style. So most of the people have about 60% of the population can do two of the four thinking styles fairly easily. About 30% can do three of them, and about 4% can do only one of them. These are like the experts in one particular field, and they struggle with the other four. And then about maybe 7% are the CEOs, and they can really flex and do all four. It's like the people who are ambidextrous.
Mm-hmm.
So circumstances and experiences will shape us, and depending on who we're with, we might need to really develop the other thinking styles that are not naturally our preferred style in order to be more effective in a particular parenting or other work situation.
Okay. Now, when you first shared with me about brain styles, and I'll just share my personal experience, is that Susie and I were in this class, and I was needing to write a written assignment. And this assignment was a little bit more involved in logic or in more creative writing. And anyone who's read The Parents Toolshop knows I'm very linear, very logical, very systematic, 1, 2, 3, you know, ABC, 1, 2, 3, very clear steps. And so I'm thinking that any kind of writing is going to be easy for me, and I really struggled with this assignment. And I was sharing with Susie how it was like it was bogging me down, and I felt like I was going to fall asleep every time I did this. It was like just pulling whale teeth to try to write this. And she said, well, you must be using an opposite quadrant of your brain, which doesn't come naturally to you. So, Susie, if you'll share with them, I've kind of shared just my personal experience of when I was operating out of a less dominant part of my brain, how that felt for me. Share with people when we're operating in our preferred, we obviously are going to be feeling very comfortable with that. How will people know, what are some signs they would see that they may be operating out of a different quadrant, and when they see that, maybe offer some suggestions, either for how to recognize it or what to do?
You bring up an excellent point, Jody, that we have preferred styles, and then we also have what our non-preferred styles are. There's research by Dr. Richard Hare of UC Irvine, who really started to look at biologically we're wired to think particular ways, and that it takes 100% more energy to think in our non-preferred styles. So when you were doing that assignment, it was literally asking you to go to the opposite style from your natural preference, and no wonder it was difficult and challenging, which is why sometimes kids and parents, you know, they're at cross purposes in some ways because how one person thinks is the opposite style of the other, and we literally don't get each other. And that can, you know, cause some real problems because we need to switch gears, and it's exhausting at times to really begin to think in our non-preferred style. The example I use is like speaking with people where English is not their primary language. And tempting as it might be, sometimes when people are trying to speak with people who English is a second language, is that we get louder in our dominant language rather than switching gears and learning to communicate in their language. And that's what parents and couples need to learn how to do, is become more comfortable in speaking in a way that makes sense to the other.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking a little bit more about those family relationships later, but a thought just actually popped into my head as you were talking about operating out of a different style. And I don't know if you've got stats on it or not, but my guess is, being in education as many years as you've had, you may have a good idea. In terms of school style, in terms of the way that the traditional, say, public schools tend to teach classes, which quadrant are they operating out of, do you think, most of the time?
I think they're more often operating out of that practical one, where they're trying to just look at, okay, here's what we're going to cover today, here's the agenda, turn your books open to page 96, let's read, and we'll walk through it step by step. For kids who like to do that particular style, that makes sense to them. And sometimes, because of the emphasis on testing and No Child Left Behind, we're moving into that top left logical quadrant, which is focusing on, you know, how well did you do on this particular exam? Did you pass? Did you not pass? What are the statistics in terms of what's going on? So that's more that more left-brain approach. When there's discussions in class, that's going to be more that right-brain, that relational.
Okay. And then the hands-on would probably be more of the creative?
Yes, and the challenge, in my opinion, is that with challenges in funding, more and more schools feel like those are the frills. And so what someone else's stuff that I think is really important could be considered by other quadrants as someone else's fluff. And what I mean by that is that I think for a lot of students, and I work with the community colleges of Spokane, and I'm working with the GED Adult Education Program, I would say the majority of the students that we have in my classes drop out of high school for all kinds of reasons, but one of it has been, I think they are predominantly right-brain thinkers, and that they think in terms of pictures and images and hands-on projects and having time to discuss and explore things, and to have that one-on-one support for them has made all the difference about their being successful, that sometimes can get lost when teachers are trying to respond to the multiple needs in larger classrooms.
So if parents recognize that their children are more creative thinkers and see the kind of work that's coming home and maybe homework that kids are struggling with tends to be more of that left brain, the logical, are there some ways that parents can help their children learn from, ideally schools would change and be more holistic, but say that's not going to happen, and say parents want to do something on their end in terms of school and helping with that. Do you have some suggestions that for what parents could do in that respect?
You bet.
To help children how to function better.
My son particularly was in that more creative, playful style of learning, and under stress, I moved to the more practical, just do it, and that wasn't working so well. So when he was in about sixth grade, he was really struggling with some writing assignments. And my husband and I thought, you know, this is going to be a challenge. He's moving on to junior high school. He's going to be having a lot more writing assignments. And what should have taken him 20 minutes or 30 minutes to do was taking him 2 hours. So we said, Dan, we're going to do some more work on this summer so that you can be prepared for the fall. And so he was, you know, resisting doing it. And he said, Mom, this drives me crazy. And we had a trampoline in the backyard, and he said, you know, what if I told, you know, the requirement is you had to write 20 minutes a day for 4 days a week during the summer. He said, well, what if I jumped on the trampoline for 10 minutes, and then I wrote for 10 minutes, and then I did more jumping? And at first, I was dismissing it. I was like, you know, Dan, you're just trying to get out of it. I was just trying to hold firm. And he goes, no, really, Mom, let's just try it. So we did. So we set the timer for 10 minutes, and he jumped for 10 minutes, and then he came in, and he wrote for 10 minutes, and then he jumped for 10 minutes. And this went back and forth and back and forth. And somehow, in the activity, in doing something physical, it released for him the block that he would have about writing. And I'm really pleased to report that he actually passed one of the AP tests to get into college in writing. But part of it was looking at a totally different, playful approach. Now, realistic, people are not going to have a trampoline in their classroom. So I think sometimes being able to have a stress ball, or that people are getting up and moving around, that they're finding ways of doing before they're going to do a writing assignment, of maybe drawing a picture. Some people do mind mapping as a way of organizing their thoughts. But it's literally working with who he is as is, not who I think he should be or how my style is or how the teacher is, but really meeting him where he was at and doing a more playful approach made all the difference, whether it was helping him with schoolwork or going to bed. You know, like going to bed, instead of just saying, okay, Dan, 8 o'clock, let's go to bed, it was like, Dan, do you want a magic carpet ride to go to bed, or do you want a piggyback ride? Well, he didn't know what a magic carpet ride would sound like, but that sounded good to him. All it was dragging him on the floor on his you know, favorite blanket to bed, but it made it more fun, and he was much more compliant. So that's what, just an example of how to work with your child's particular thinking style to be more effective, both in teaching as well as parenting.
Really excellent suggestions. And I know that one of the handouts that we're going to be offering folks, and we'll be describing that in the next break, offers some suggestions for all these different types of learning styles. And actually, the Parents Tool Shop book does also, Chapter 11, for those of you who want to look at different learning styles. So parents can identify what their child's learning style is and then help supplement and help them take some of the information and process it through those, through what's natural for them, what their preferred style is. What do you see any benefit? I'm kind of thinking there might be some benefit of children learning how to operate in what tends to be the more dominant societal way of thinking and operating and in school without necessarily expecting them to change who they are or to not honor that. How do you see kind of the balance of helping children develop the less dominant parts of their learning styles or how their brains are wired, versus supplementing the learning with activities that fit their predominant style?
Sure. So one of the ways to do that, obviously, is that we need all four thinking styles to survive and live as fully as we possibly can in the world. So even though I might have a preference for one or two over some others, to neglect those is a problem. So, for example, even though a child may not want to really have math as their preferred style, or they're not going to become a career as an accountant or a financial manager, obviously not being able to make correct change if they're, you know, working in a service industry or looking at their checkbook and to see if they're overdrawn or not is a major problem. So even though that's not their preference, people need to have skills in all four of the quadrants. What I call is sometimes a brain sandwich. And what that means is that I sandwich the before and after activity with something I love to do that gives me energy, that's in my natural preferred style, so that the activity that I need to do that's not my preferred style, that's kind of draining my energy, is surrounded with before and after kinds of experiences of what I love to do. And so by the end of the day, I have an even balance versus I'm in the deficit column of energy because I've just drained. So, for example, I find myself when I needed to do something that's not my preference, that I will, you know, maybe start off with something that kind of is, you know, I love talking with students and being with them, and that kind of gets me going, and then I'm going to spend a little time on the computer doing some more technical kinds of things, which kind of drains my energies, and then I end up the day with making sure that I've had some time to do some other things in that relational quadrant, so that I'm not drained by the end of the day. And that's what you find kids coming home from school or parents home from work, and they're just exhausted because they did not make a distinction between what is their preference and what is their competency. And sometimes our competencies are what pay our paychecks, but it's not our preference. And so the work from Arlene Taylor, who's a nurse and also a thinking style consultant, has developed a term called PASS, or post-adaptation stress syndrome, which means that if we're not really creating that balance between doing what we need to do as well as what truly gives us energy, we can have this prolonged adaptation stress response, which is like a post-traumatic stress disorder, which keeps draining our energy. So we are trying to find balance. I do look at, particularly, let's say someone's really strong in that logical quadrant, and they do numbers, and they track, and they get to the point, and those are wonderful life skills. But the diagonal opposite for them is that more relational piece. So this is where they're going to really learn from your work, Jody, in terms of listening to feelings, of doing that emotional coaching,
And that's not going to be easy for them. But they're going to know for their partner's relationship and with their kids that those are skills that they need to develop in order to support their family, even though as their career, they're not going to choose to be a counselor.
Okay. So helping to make some relevant connections with kids in terms of why, of at least teaching them some of the really necessary life skills, which may fall into some of their less dominant quadrants. And instead of just trying to develop that style in general, really trying to connect it to something that happens to fall in that quadrant that would be really necessary for them in life would be...
Yes. So okay. We want to always look at, you know, what's, for example, let's say a child is really having a hard time learning fractions. And that's all that logical, you know, quadrant. And we want to find ways to do it in a way that fits their style of learning a skill that's not in their preferred style. So
okay.
Particularly if they're in the relational or in the creative one, I'm going to do some, or even practical, I'm going to do some things with baking. And I'm going to have them get all the measuring cups out, and we're going to measure precisely what a half cup, quarter cup, third cup looks like. And in doing those kinesthetic activities, and having it be playful, we're going to bake a cake or whatever it is, and having them follow step by step and using math in practical everyday part of their life, you know, making a birthday cake for their friend or whatever it is, that's going to help them learn something that they were avoiding, and now they see the value of how that could be helpful in their own life, but how we've taught it is in a style that makes sense to them.
Okay, that's making sense to me. So it's not that we're trying to necessarily have them learn to think differently in terms of get better in one of those less dominant quadrants. We're trying to use their dominant preferred style to help them learn tasks that may typically fall into those less dominant categories. Does that make sense?
Yes, because, you know, life requires us to be whole-brained.
Right.
And not just half-brained in terms of only using two of the four styles. So clearly, we need to be able to in all four areas, but we may not make our living in the ones that are our diagonal opposites.
Right. Good. Okay. Makes sense. Yeah, I was trying to get at whether or not we're trying to change and develop the less dominant or if we really want to stick with that predominant to help them learn different things, and I think you've answered that question very well. Good. Well, now, folks, that's a lot on school. After the break, which we're getting ready to take, we're going to talk more about parenting and families and family relationships, not just parenting, but I'm sure that just as when I talk about problem-solving styles in the Parents Tool Shop and couples start looking at each other, we're going to get a little bit to that, too, after the break. Susie, if you just want to get a sip of water and rest your voice for a minute or so, we're getting ready to take our 20-minute break because we'd like to welcome in our callers. So let me just take a few quick minutes now. I'll welcome those of you who may have just joined us on the show. This is Parents Tool Talk, and I'm your host, Jody Johnston-Powell, author of the Parents Tool Shop. And today we're talking with guest expert Susie Weller on the subject of parenting brain styles. We're going to be opening up the conversation to questions now. So from here to the end of the show, if you have a question for Susie or for me, just call 347-205-9654 and hit the 1 on your phone keypad to raise your hand. That's 347-205-9654. You can also send us a question using the chat room at parentstooltalk.com, and then once you're on that main page, click on the play/chat button right by the picture of today's show. As I mentioned at the start of the show, we are offering a free thank you gift to anyone who asks a question by phone or chat. So my producer, Chris Gooley, is going to take a moment and tell you a little bit more about that resource. He's also going to tell you about our deep discount resource of the month, which is a chance for our live listeners to really save big on the featured resource of the month here at Parents Tool Shop. Right, Chris?
Sure, Jody. And Susie, thank you so much for being with us today. Yes, we have got a great resource today, courtesy of our guest, Susie Weller, that we're going to offer free to anyone who calls or chats in with a live question. It's called 30 Tips to Soothe Stress from Head to Toe. This six-page resource is adapted from Susie's book, Why Don't You Understand? improve family communication with the four thinking styles. And its intent is to help some of the over 73% of adults who say that they need to find new ways to reduce their stress. This resource will tell you 10 ways to know when your brain has become overloaded by stress, how each thinking style uniquely copes with stress. It also offers tips and calming strategies for nurturing body, mind, and emotions and making the shift from surviving to thriving. Once again, this resource is available as a free digital download to anyone who calls or chats in with a question during the live show. After the show is over, just send me an email at producer@parentstooltalk.com. Tell me your name and the question you asked during the program, and I will send you the link to download this resource. So once again, that's producer@parentstooltalk.com. But the great resources don't end there. I'd like to tell you about our deep discount resource of the month. Now, each month we take one of Jody's excellent resources for parents and offer it at a substantial discount. Then when radio show time comes around, we double the discount. So this month, our deep discount resource is an audio recording of the live workshop, Blended or Tossed, Which is Your Parenting Style? Discover whether your style is best for reaching your parenting goals, improve teamwork with parenting partners, and learn the 6 reasons that even effective parenting tools might not work. This resource is already being offered at a 25% discount to our Facebook and Twitter communities, but during the live radio show today, we're offering a double discount, so that's 50% off the full price of the resource. Normally $10, you can get this recording for just $5. But you can only get this discount during the live radio show and about a half an hour later. So to place your order right away, go to www.parentstoolshop.com/links. That's www.parentstooltalk.com/links. And once you click that order link, the audio recording will go into your shopping cart, and that's when you enter the coupon code that will cut the price in half. And that discount code is PTT202. That's PTT as in Parents Tool Talk, and the number is 202. And with that, I'll say thank you to everyone for your attention, and I certainly hope that you'll check out these resources. And now I'll hand things back over to Jody and Susie, and be watching the switchboard and the chat room for your questions. Jody?
All right. Thanks, Chris. Now let's get back to our guest expert, Susie Weller, and our topic today, parenting brain styles. So we talked the first half more about school in terms of children and their thinking styles. What do you see in terms of family relationships, and this is where your whole book really focuses on family relationships, and especially what is it that happens when you're in a family and not everybody has the same thinking style?
Well, that is a common case, I think, for most families. I think opposites often attract when people are dating, and it's really exciting because this other person brings out another part of us that we don't often live with. And then when we get married or move in with each other, all of a sudden it's like, oh, my goodness, the very thing that was first, attracting me is now driving me crazy. And a lot of it is because that we don't really respect that we are truly different thinking styles, and we're bringing a different perspective to that relationship. One of the things I found most helpful in my own relationship, I've been married for 26 years to my husband, Mark, is as part of my training with Herman International, we had a chance to do our own thinking style profile. And in addition, they also showed us what our backup style looked under stress. And I could see within 3 seconds, oh, that's why we do so well when we're not stressed, and why we just, polarize each other into opposite corners when we're, when we are stressed. It just gave me such an insight to be able to see at a glance, to not take the conflict so personally, but to really recognize that it's different thinking styles at work.
And I think I can relate to that also, in that my husband and I are very opposites, and him being much more logical and problem solver. And initially, when we first married, I was more emotional, more on that creative problem solver. And it's interesting because over the years, we've kind of shifted a little bit in that he tends to be much more conversational and wants to vent and experiences more emotions. And I've actually gotten more logical, more linear, more. So it's been interesting to see how that's kind of shifted over the years. And I think part of that is that I was learning to be more logical and not take so much time venting, you know, so long and just kind of going on and on and on venting. And he also has learned how to listen better, and so I think he's become more conversational. So that's interesting. So also interesting that you're talking about a primary style and a fallback style. In the Parents Tool Shop, when I'm in the chapter on parenting styles, and those folks who either do the parenting quiz or do the audio that we're offering this month will hear this part, that parents also tend to have a predominant parenting style, which can be developed very much in terms of their conscious learning and developing skills and to kind of stay in what I call the balanced parenting style. But when they're under stress or they run out of options, they also tend to have a fallback style. And usually that tends to be how we were raised, even if it's not what we would prefer. It's kind of we kind of fall back almost to gut instinct, so to speak. So it sounds like there's some similarities between brain styles and parenting styles on that particular note.
There are tons of similarities between the two. When I was looking at your book and looking at the balanced parenting chart that you have there, when you describe the over-controlling and the under-controlling, in some ways that's often describing the over-controlling, which can be that more logical quadrant, and that, again, the opposite would be that relational quadrant and that lower right side. And so that's where, you know, one person is disciplining too harshly, and the other parent feels that they've got to balance it, and so they go to the opposite extreme, and the other parent is saying, you know what, you're a marshmallow. You're letting them walk all over you. And so we do this seesaw back and forth trying to find balance, and it's really hard on kids to have these extreme positions. The opposite is often true for the other paired opposites, which would be that practical and creative, where you have someone who's riding a pretty tight ship in terms of things are on time, we get up on time, we go to bed on time, we eat on time, and we do our chores, and there's a real chore chart and a consistency about what happens, and you've got this other, you know, parent who's much more playful and spontaneous, and it's a beautiful day, the housework will work, let's go out and enjoy it. And, you know, depending on who's in charge, kids get a different message. So we want to find ways that all four contribute to healthy families. But I think identifying our preferred style and our backup style is really, really helpful. When I was doing it and looking at the chart, the research from Herman International with working with Fortune 500 businesses and countries all over the world is that they did find that there was a gender bias, and that more men were in the logical quadrant and more women were in the relational quadrant, similar to your husband and yourself and similar to my husband and myself. There seemed to be no gender bias between the practical and the creative. That seemed to be more evenly split among the genders. And what's important is that you mentioned that we kind of go to our default programming or how we were raised, and that's what showed up when I was looking at my profile, that normally my husband's this more creative, playful kind of guy, and then he shifts to that more logical when we're in a conflict. And I either get louder in that relational or I move to the practical. And so you could begin to see, no wonder why things would escalate, because it's not our best preferences coming out necessarily when we're under stress, but our default programming.
Yes, and where I'm seeing the real similarity in this is in, let's see, it would be Chapter 7, which is problem-solving styles, and that and also some of that gender bias is there, but I usually will tell folks, because a lot of folks will, well, the way that I, the labels that I put on them are not necessarily specific to brain quadrants, but it's the more logical problem solvers tend to be conquerors, where they're not quite as emotion-based, they're more logical, they really shoot for what are the facts and how am I going to solve this problem. And venters tend to get caught up a little bit more in the emotion of it, and they've really got to work through their emotions before they can get to the logic and the solution. And so we can get into conflict when we have a conflict of problem-solving styles. And so there's, you know, suggestions in there for, you know, venters to learn how to vent in a nutshell and for conquerors to learn how to acknowledge feelings to help those mentors work through those feelings. And a lot of people will say, you know, well, isn't that just male and female? And I'll usually say, no, it's not strictly down gender lines, and I actually like the term used, gender bias, which means there, it does tend to be biased in that direction, but I've known, well, I'm a female who is more of what I call the conqueror, who's on that more logical, practical side, and I've had quite a few men come through the class and who identify that they're much more of that creative relational, or what I call the venter, kind of problem-solving style. So in particularly in terms of marriage, I think it's really obvious the differences in these styles. What suggestions do you have? We'll talk about marriage, and then we'll talk more broadly in terms of parenting and all family relationships and that type of thing as we move towards our last segment there. So what are some suggestions that you have for helping to bridge those gaps?
Well, the first suggestion I have is to stop taking differences personally, that
mm-hmm.
I need to really recognize that each preference has its own benefits and gifts
mm-hmm.
and also has its own limitations and challenges. So
mm-hmm.
if I really want to communicate more effectively with my partner or with my children, the goal is how can I switch my style to their style? So I learn, almost like I said earlier about being multilingual, that I learn to speak in their style. So in the example you were giving about, you know, and problem solving, that when I have a problem, I don't go to my husband first sometimes because I need to vent in that relational style, and that drives him crazy. So what I find is that I vent to my, you know, relational friends, I vent on my journal, I do whatever I need to do to kind of get the emotional piece out, so that I'm cleared the way to be able to hear his best skills in terms of problem solving, gathering the facts, starting to look at some solutions. And when I'm ready for that solution kind of resource he can be for me, then that works really well. But if I'm just venting and he's problem solving and trying to fix it, then I just get annoyed. So
mm-hmm.
at one point I literally said to him, you know, honey, I know you want to be helpful. How you could help me right now, this is a problem to solve, is simply by letting me vent and let me just express it. You don't need to fix it. You don't need to solve it. You just need to help, you know, basically read the cue card. Honey, it must be frustrating, which is just acknowledging
right.
my feelings. And when he would do that, then he could feel like, okay, he was being helpful in a way I wanted. But I find for the most part that it's better for me to do what I need to do to get out my feelings in another format and then go to him for his best strength in terms of problem solving. And vice versa, to be able to recognize, you know, what he needs from me, how can I give it to him in ways that make sense to him as well. And that really strengthens our relationship.
Yeah, and I'm seeing kind of two different perspectives, each having its own value. One is to recognize the differences and see the strengths in having differences. I would imagine if there's a couple or a family where everybody operates out of the same quadrant and they only approach problems or discussions from that one style of thinking, they actually could be missing, you know, maybe if, say, it's very linear and logical, they might be missing maybe some creative brainstorming that could bring them actually to a better solution. So rather than seeing them as differences that automatically create conflict, of recognizing those differences can really make the relationships richer, can bring more balance to the family, but at the same time recognizing, kind of taking some of the suggestions you just said, of learning how to communicate either to their style so that they can hear us more easily, and also for us also, particularly as adults, to be learning. I think it's good for everyone to learn how to listen, even if it doesn't come naturally to them, because that's important in all relationships. So a little bit of developing our skills in other quadrants as well as recognizing the beauty of the balancing of having those differences and the richness that that could bring our relationships.
Jody, you're absolutely right. I'd like to offer your listeners what the Herman International calls a whole brain decision-making or problem-solving method that I think really supports what you've been writing about in terms of balanced parenting and balanced families that integrate all the four thinking styles and quadrants. So when I have a decision to make, I want to start in the logical quadrant in that top left-hand corner. And I want to gather the facts. I want to gather the data because maybe I'm solving the problem quickly, but it's the wrong problem. So I'm going to gather the information first. And then I'm going to move to the diagonal opposite, which would be in that relational corner on the right, left hand, right lower right side. And that's going to be able to look at, okay, here's the information. Now, how is this impacting people? So just like the work with Brain Gym, we integrate both hemispheres of the brain. And then I'm going to move up to the creative corner in the top right and say, all right, what are some other options here we haven't considered? This is the time for brainstorming, thinking outside the box, and really looking at things that, you know, we just haven't thought of before. And then again, we're going to cross the diagonal opposite to that practical, which is on the lower left-hand side, which is the practical, which wants to look at implementing, you know, all the possibilities. It's pie in the sky if I just am dreaming. I need to actually, you know, pick a solution and implement it. And when that happens, I get new information, which brings me back up to that top left-hand corner. If you were to trace your finger for a moment of moving from the top left-hand corner, the logical, to the diagonal opposite of the relational, and coming up to the creative and back down to the practical, you would notice that you create the infinity symbol or sideways eight. And that's what I look at, that a whole brain decision-making method uses all four thinking styles in a particular sequence so that we can appreciate what each quadrant has to offer to truly make a whole brain decision rather than a half-brain one.
I love that you shared that. This is really validating for me because the other piece that I'm realizing as I'm looking at this is the problem-solving process, the fact-listening process, and there's a problem-solving worksheet that we use. And as I look at the order that I recommend, and of course, you know, my recommendations, nothing I teach is my ideas. It's all, you know, based on research. But this is just really validating because the first thing we do is we gather information. We ask, we listen to the children or whoever has the problem to find out what their issue is, and then kind of see how is this affecting their relationship, what's the real core issue, you know, are they really arguing over the remote or is there really something deeper to it than that, and then brainstorming ideas and then evaluating them and choosing a solution. So it's really affirming to see that the order that Parents Tool Shop is encouraging parents to do the problem solving really fits with this. So
yes,
thank
I think
you
also
for that.
The brain
thank
research. Well, cool. And I'm
That's
glad
great.
That just the brain research from Brain Gym, which is being used in schools and colleges and work sites all over the world, is integrating the diagonal opposite or the two hemispheres of the brain. And so that's when we get lopsided, both in families but also in work sites, where typically the one style might overwhelm or dominate the other styles. And so we don't see what the others have to offer. And particularly if both parents are the same style, and then you have children or perhaps in a family, you might have three out of the four people in the family operating out of the two, you know, particular thinking styles that they share in common. And this other person, you know, child or adult is feeling the odd person out. And they're saying, gosh, do I belong to this family? You know, what happened here? I just don't feel like I'm in sync. And sometimes that child or that adult can feel really left out, and most of it is really just a biological difference in how they think is different than the rest of the family members.
And that's a really good place, actually, for us to come back because you can tell us a little bit more about Brain Gym. You can tell us about when those kinds of dynamics come up, how we can work through those. It is about 40 after the hour, actually a little bit more than that. So I do want to make sure that I tell folks about your book and some other resources that we've got. So be thinking about what you want to cover in this last segment, picking up where we left off there, Susie. For those of you who may have just joined us or tuning in late, this is Parents Tool Talk, and I'm your host, Jody Johnston Powell of the Parents Tool Shop. Today we're talking with Susie Weller on the subject of parenting brain styles. If you do have any questions during the live show, you can call in at area code 347-205-9654. That's 347-205-9654, and hit the 1 on your phone keypad to raise your hand. Or send us a question using the chat room at parentstooltalk.com. And remember, anyone who asks a question today by phone or chat is eligible to receive a special thank you gift. To claim your prize, you'll just email my producer, Chris, at producer@parentstooltalk.com. Give him your name and the question that you asked, and he'll send you a download to this great resource, which is a 2-page guide to starting safety conversations with your kids. Oh, I'm sorry, it's the 6-page guide that Chris had described there during the earlier break. I also want to mention that if you want to get access to even more bonus resources, then you'll want to sign up for the Parents Tool Talk mailing list. Bonus resources range from articles written by our guest experts and myself to book excerpts, bonus handouts, and exclusive post-show recordings. This month, we have a bonus resource from Susie Weller on healthy ways of providing guidance and discipline to children based on a child's thinking style. We also have a link to my complimentary parenting styles quiz, and you can take this quiz to find out what your parenting style is and then download a complimentary 14-page excerpt from Chapter 2 of my book, The Parents Tool Shop, which we've been talking about in this last segment. To sign up for the mailing list, go to www.parentstooltalk.com/links. That's parentstooltalk, all one word, .com/links, L-I-N-K-S. And know that when you sign up for that list, I never share your private information with anyone for any reason. You do get on the Parents Tool Shop mailing list because it's a sublist. So you do get the Parents Tool Shop newsletter, and then you also are eligible for all the special bonuses that just our radio show list gets. So let's get back to Susie and our discussion and pick up where we left off, because we started talking more now about kind of the whole family and for parents and children and using these brain styles, this knowledge of brain styles to help really bring some balance to our families. So share with us, Susie, how we can do that.
Well, I think part of it is really recognizing and identifying what is your preferred style. And there are clues to also begin to identify your partner or your children's styles. As I mentioned in the very beginning of the show, is to work with what you got. Just like with temperament traits, you know, I might have preferred someone who thought like me and did things like I did, but in fact, the world would be very dull if it was only one style or one color. And so to work and to identify what really is your child's or partner's preferred way of being in the world and how they like to do things and how they best like to learn, and learn their language, learn their style. So in my book, I have a little quiz that helps people begin to identify their style, also their child's style, with just everyday things. It gives you clues about noticing and paying attention to how they, you know, even organize their room or lack of. It gives you clues and information, or even the kind of clothes or how they cook a meal are all the ways that give us clues about people's thinking. And then to work with that in terms of adjusting our own thinking style, ways we communicate or the activities that we're teaching or showing our kids how to do things, whether it's chores around the house or whatever, that we are teaching in ways that resonate for them and make sense. So those are the two biggest things I would suggest.
Excellent. Very helpful. And are there any other suggestions either at school, marriage, at home, some of the more practical ways, maybe even specific suggestions, maybe for some of the more common challenges that you've seen in terms of having a disconnect in terms of different thinking styles maybe clashing that you think may be helpful that parents could walk away with maybe some more practical ideas to take home?
Sure. One of the tools I use is called NARN. So it's shifting from darn to NARN, and it goes along with the four thinking styles. So just like we talked before about that, the four thinking styles being used in decision making, I would also use this as a way of calming down and managing our stress. That clearly, when I get stress and overload, the emotional layer of my brain takes over, which is why we have phrases such as, I'm so mad, I literally can't think straight. So part of this is really noticing when that's happening, and the research from University of Washington with John Gottman suggests that when the emotional layer of the brain is taking over, the higher thinking brain, which can access all four thinking styles more easily, is literally shut down for about 20 minutes minimally, which is why we want to take a break. You know, that's why timeouts are not just for kids, but also for adults. Not as a punishment or as a discipline,
right,
but just as a cool down kind of time so that the higher thinking brain can come back online and then I can use all four thinking styles as appropriate to the situation. So in that logical quadrant is what I'm calling the N for NARN, which means for notice. So I'm beginning to notice what's going on. I'm noticing my body sensations. I'm noticing my thoughts. I'm noticing my feelings. I'm noticing, you know, the self-talk, and it's like taking a deep breath and to calm down physically. And then I'm going to move again to that diagonal opposite to the relational corner on the bottom right, and I'm going to be able to look at the A for accept, to accept all the information that's coming in, to be able to accept what's, you know, this is information from my learning. I'm doing a pearl process with students right now to say that the very family irritants in our life are the very source of the pearls. So how can I accept this thing that's annoying right at the moment as actually a potentially a teacher for me? And in accepting, I begin to relax, and I begin to, instead of causing pushback or becoming more controlling, that I say, this has something for me to learn from this. And then I move up into that creative quadrant in the top right, and that's the reflect. And this is where I begin again to look at how could I reflect on other options about ways of handling or problem solving this situation that I have not previously considered. And then I move into the bottom left-hand corner again in that practical, which is the N as in nurture. So in this moment, what do I need to do that would be most supportive for myself or for the person involved, whether it's my partner or my child? And this is when I look at your passer response formula is, you know, we started that notice, which is preventing the problem from starting or getting worse, was that noticing. The A in terms of the acceptance of the relational was acknowledging other person's feeling or perspective. And when you look at the S and the RR is being able to set limits or express concerns, but it's coming from what would be the best way to respond and then to be able to take action. So this whole process, I think, really supports the work that you've been doing in your Universal Blueprint to support healthy families.
Thank you so much for making that connection, because this has really been helpful to make some of those crossovers and to see some of the parallels between those, because obviously a lot of people who listen to the show are familiar with Parents Tool Shop concepts, and I often tell them that it's, you know, a lot of when I was pulling that together was research-based, but so much is happening, not just has happened since I wrote a bit, it's constantly happening in terms of what we are learning about the brain. And so I appreciate the real specific connections there in terms of how parents can really be seeing how the current brain research is kind of backing up and is consistent with some of what Parents Tool Shop teaches. That's really been very helpful and affirming from my point of view. It's been very helpful to hear that.
Well, you're welcome. And I do find that just when, you know, when wisdom ideas have a solid foundation, I think then people are really saying it's like the, you know, a jewel, and there's different facets of the jewel, and you're going to find that people might use different words, but in fact they're affirming that same value or truth from a variety of places and viewpoints, and it'll be reaffirmed whether it be as a marriage counselor saying it, you know, or a parent educator or a brain researcher, and so that's why I think there's a natural crossover when things really have a solid foundation and value.
Yes, and I think it's helpful for parents to just hear how it may be stated differently so that they're not necessarily, you know, they learn NARN. That doesn't mean that's something different necessarily from something else that they've learned. It may just be stated in a little bit of a different way. And sometimes it helps to have those connections pointed out for folks. Not everybody's always able to see the connections, so that's really helpful. I did want to ask you also, just quickly, because I do want you to get a chance to talk about your book before we wrap up, and we're getting a little bit closer to the top of the hour. You had mentioned Brain Gym, and I'm just kind of agreeing because I'm familiar with it, but not everybody may be familiar with it. I know when I do a lot of training for early childhood educators and school teachers, there's a lot of, we incorporate a lot of Brain Gym, and they've been learning a lot of it. If you could, though, for people who might not be familiar, share with folks what that is and maybe give one or two examples of some of the activities.
Sure. So if you were to look at braingym.org or the book Smart Moves by Carla Hannaford, they're really talking about a way of integrating all the both hemispheres of the brain. And so one of the things that they do is a cross-patterning kind of experience where you can imagine when your child was first learning to crawl, they were doing a cross-crawl where they're using one side of their body and then the other side. And we find in being able to use both sides of the brain in a crisscross kind of sequence that it really strengthens the connections between the both hemispheres. And so that's what we're looking for is brain integration, not just isolation into I do well one quadrant, but I can't relate to other people in the other quadrants. So I think that that's really important. Clearly, when some kids have wanted to be early walkers and they haven't wanted to crawl,
sometimes people have noticed that they have some problems in school because they didn't have the physical activity that would support the neural connection between both hemispheres of the brain. So in Brain Gym, they will literally do physical exercises called cross crawl and the pace sequence, which uses ways of just doing the opposite side of the water of the body. So for example, I would take my right arm and hand and touch my left knee, and then I would flip it and touch my left arm and hand to my right knee. And just by doing this crisscross sequence, I literally strengthen both part of the brain, hemispheres of the brain, to be working in harmony together.
And I am familiar, or have been told, that that particular activity that you just described is one that teachers will often encourage children to do right before a test.
Yes.
Yeah, because it helps to activate both sides of their brain and kind of gets them in their optimized thinking mode before they take their test.
And they've actually done that same kind of research with adults. They did it with nursing students just before they were taking the NCLEX or their professional exam, which is quite stressful. And the study's results showed that those adults also who had done the cross crawl or the pace while using Brain Gym did significantly better in passing the test than those who hadn't. So again, it's that brain optimization. They've actually done some studies similarly in University of Wisconsin with people who were experienced meditators. And what they found is that those who created time for silence and reflection consistently in their life, when they looked at their PET scans for their brain, literally showed more crossover between both parts of their brain because they could find ways to disconnect from the stress that where I'm more tempted to act out of that survival or emotional layer of the brain and react rather than take the moment to calm down and then make the choice to respond, which is one of the big things you focus on in your work, is learning how to respond versus react.
Yes, yes. And both of us also have whole other curriculum and programs and resources that we offer. You had mentioned meditation, which kind of leads more into the spiritual. And both of us have workshops that focus on stress management, but it ties in with meditation and a lot of concepts that a lot of folks would consider spiritual. And so we will just have to come back and pick up on that and have another show with you. Focusing on, we can do maybe the stress management and what the class that I have is Inner Secrets for a Stress-Free Life, and it kind of leads us into that topic. So let's wrap up our topic on parenting, and we will look into having you back to talk about a little bit more on the spiritual side. If you would, tell folks briefly about your book and how they can get an autographed copy today.
Thank you. I'd love to be able to do that. My book is called Why Don't You Understand? Improve Family Communication with the Four Thinking Styles, and you can get it through my website, SusieWeller.com, SusieWeller.com, and I will send you an autographed copy, and I'll include the mailing as well, and so there's some information about how to do that on my website. And I also want to give a very special resource to your listeners today, that if anyone mentions that they heard me on your broadcast, that I would also be willing to give, since you're doing featured resources with a deep discount, that I would give a 50% discount on the Normal Thinking Style Profile through Herman International that can be done for individuals as well as for couples, as my thank you for Jody and Chris asking me to be a guest on your show today.
Thank you so much for that extra bonus there. Would that be available through the month of, this is October, through the month of October?
Yes.
Okay, because not everybody is listening live, and we do get a lot of folks who are listening, and you'll be the featured radio show for the next month. So, and our discount lasts also through October. Thank you very much. So as we're coming to the end of the show here, we've got just a couple of minutes. Let me do a real quick recap. Our guest today has been Susie Weller. We've been talking about brain parenting brain styles. Please check out her website at SusieWeller.com. Foster parents, remember to check out From the Call if you are wanting continuing education credits. Just go to parentstooltalk.com/links, click on CEUs for directions. And there's still time to take advantage of the deep discount on the audio recording. So, again, go to links, and you can put it in your shopping cart, and our discount code is PTT202. That will only be available for about a half hour after the show. That's PTT202. And thanks again, Susie, for joining us. Any final comments before the exit music starts to play?
Well, I'm most thankful to have an opportunity to share this work with you. And like you said, I think work that's working to support the integration of the brain so we really have whole brain families, children, and work sites and schools really benefits our whole country and the world. I'm so thankful to have a chance to talk about it. Many thanks.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I always enjoy talking with you. And everyone who's been listening, I really enjoy having you join us. So thank you for joining us today. You can learn more about Parents Tool Shop at ParentsToolShop.com. And I hope you'll join us back here at Parents Tool Talk in 2 weeks. We'll have a combination theme program on open-ended questions with parents on nurturing your school-age children. So until then, this is Jody Johnson-Powell, and I'm always yours in service to families. Bye now.